Welcome to Kick Cage.
Welcome to the Kick Cage and a special episode of the 2022 review show. I have two listeners on with me today, one of them being the owner of MV Night Vision. Matt, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on today. I know we're going to speak about your favourite episodes. And,
yeah, great to be here, mate.
Fantastic. And we also have Darren.
Yeah, mate.
How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, mate, yourself.
I'm very well, thank you. Obviously, yourself being an avid listener of many different podcasts, I know you've listened to quite a few of Kick Cage podcasts over the past year, so I'm very excited to have your review about the shows. So starting with Matt, where did it start for you? What episode did Kick Cage really take your interest?
So really, I mean, I've been listening since Ep 1, to be fair. We know each other sort of personally anyway. So always wanting to sort of support a mate, support what you're doing, and also that the story behind it. You know, I think you said it in one of your episodes actually. Like the idea of Kick Cage was to remove that stigma behind what a Kick Cage is, that sort of alpha male mentality where nothing's spoken about, it's just a ready up space. And I really like that message. As I'm sure we'll talk about things, we've all experienced different things and different issues, different problems with mental health. I think everyone has, if they admit it to themselves or not. So I've always liked the message behind it.
Oh, thank you very much for that. Darren, what about you?
Oh, mate, same as Matt. Obviously, I started listening minutes before him, mate, because he always likes to try and be first with everything, doesn't he? Now, mate, same with Matt. Absolutely supporting the message you're trying to get out there. Mate, we've had conversations offline where it's quite, the subject you talk about, mate, is quite personal to myself. Being a bit of a survivor myself as well. And yeah, we need to get rid of that stigma about blokes not being able to talk or hiding behind the old, masculine, whatever job role it is that you do. And therefore, you believe that you can't reach out and talk to people just to ask for help. And mate, what you're doing is absolutely brilliant.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Getting that message out there, I found it quite difficult finding the platform's feet. I think personally for me, I didn't really feel connected as much as I did until I got to episode 18 when I was speaking to Liz McConaughey. After reading her book, I just felt that interview there was probably one of the major turning points of me, where it became even more passionate than it was at the start, being a suicide survivor myself. How close that story was to mine was just unbelievable. And it really got me driven even more to try and get those amazing guests on that have that life experience and those words of advice. So out of the, well, there'll be 24 episodes when this one's dropped. Out of the ones you've watched so far, which ones have really touched you personally, on which ones have taken you as an interest in the person that's being interviewed?
For me, I think the last one that I listened to, the Eddie Gallagher one, that was a really powerful one for me. I liked, I mentioned to you sort of off air, he started talking about religion and he started talking about when, obviously his religious beliefs have really impacted how he feels and how he goes about his sort of day to day. He called it spiritual, not religious. I found that really interesting. So I've just started going to church. This is something that's happened really recently, only over the past sort of few months, but I think it's, there's a lot of stigma and it's quite difficult now to talk about religion, I think, and its impact on general society and, or should I say that the lack thereof of religion and its impact on the general society. And I think that's it's a really interesting and valid point that it's almost become a bit of a taboo subject for a white man to talk about a Christian belief almost, and it can be quite difficult now, I think. But it's interesting. It's interesting learning more about it, and also the guidance I think that religion has, and also and the general impact that it can have on not only myself as I'm discovering, but also on the wider community. I think that there's a lot to be said about that. One of the other podcasts that I really got into was the I'm trying to look now at what his name was. James Rossum. I'm not sure if I've pronounced his surname correctly there, but he was the guy in the US Air Force, I think it was, who was the interrogator. I found that really fascinating. And some of the points that he picked up on was as an interrogator, he would then find himself naturally slipping into that in day-to-day life. And I guess I'd never clicked, oh yeah, you just would, because your work habits do become your personal habits. And I found that fascinating, that one, I'd never even considered that an interrogator would then become or use those same techniques in a personal setting. I was like, ah, oh, yeah, that's going to be difficult to disconnect there, really difficult.
When they become intrinsic behaviors and you're doing them almost subconsciously without even realizing it. That's quite a
Yeah,
fascinating
definitely,
insight to
because you do like people want what they want. If I want to go out and get something, then I'll try and go out and get something. He's got this extra ability of being able to talk his way into getting what he wants, and he's got that. It's almost like a superpower that he's got, and he's got to really regulate that because it can become manipulative behavior, and that must be really difficult to know the fact that you've got this like superpower and not use it.
Absolutely. Darren, what about yourself?
Mate, same episode as you, mate, Liz.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think I did a bit of a review for you. Mind blown, mate. So close, mate. So close to to the subject, you and me. Obviously, good old favourite, Smudge as well. Everyone loves a good episode with Smudge. Definitely need a part two with that.
Definitely.
Maybe a invite only one as well, mate. But yeah, the Liz one hit home massively for me. Yeah, mate. Being a survivor is one thing, but then when you hear stories of others and you go, yeah, a bit close that way.
How did it make you feel after listening to the episode? Did it uplift you listening to it, or did it bring you back and actually made you think about that dark time? I'm hoping it was,
Mate,
the former of the two there.
it was definitely uplifting where you think, okay, we've been there, mate. We've been there, we've dealt with it. It's a demon. Some people say, oh, the demons are always going to be there, or the demons are done. I think for most of us, the demons are always going to be there, and it's just how we are going to deal with them and what our coping mechanisms are. Myself, mate, I've been through EMDR and things like that. Helps absolutely massively, and it's good to hear that others have as well. Even though we know they have, because you're never going to be the only one, I. But it's nice to hear it, and that episode. I, mate, to be fair, I've gone back and listened to it quite a few times.
Yeah, that makes me feel sort of happy. That takes me back to something Eddie Penny was saying about us, everyone being a community, and the fact that helping others, but then getting the messages of support back saying that this has helped me in a roundabout fashion. And I think that's what Eddie Penny was getting at when I interviewed him. What about as a just a pure interesting episode? What which one of them just took you as a as an interest for the guest?
Mate, I've got to say it's the Aussie slash New Zealand SAS episode. Yeah, I like that one. But also, I forget his name off the top of my head, but the actor from SEAL Team, mate. Even though it was a short and sweet one,
Justin
there's
Malvex.
I Yeah, I spoke to you offline about that, making notes short and sweet. It definitely gets the mind thinking about things he didn't say as well.
Exactly. I think there's a lot that wasn't said in that interview that, people from that sort of background or maybe in that sort of mindset might have twigged on that, the average Joe probably wouldn't have done. And I think the reason why the episode was so short was obviously to do with time difference with the West Coast of the United States versus the UK. When he actually came online, it was 2:30 in the morning, and I had to be up at 6 o'clock for work. So it was a little bit dicey, but we managed to get the episode out. And to be fair, I felt it was a good interview.
No, it was. It was fascinating that just I think Daz hit on it. It's sometimes it's the things that aren't said, and it's that reading between the lines. There's going to be so many people as well listening to this episode now that are going to go, "Oh, hang on a minute, let me just re-listen to that Justin Melner episode, and what have I missed? What let me read between the lines a little bit here." Yeah, 100%. You see, for me, I think one of the interesting ones for me was the two smudges. So R Smudge and John Smith as well, hostile operator. I mean, I love both of them. I've been lucky enough to know them both personally, and they're both cracking people. But yeah, they're fascinating to listen to the stories that we don't normally hear. I mean, even from like R Smudge, George Smith. He said stuff in that podcast that none of us have ever heard from him before. And that's,
Definitely.
I think we're all a bit sort of like, oh, didn't know that. What's happened here?
Yeah, with our smudge, I think, mate, that's only like page one, isn't it, of his stories?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's the fact that veterans speaking to veterans, you end up opening up that little bit more, and perhaps doing it this way when it's you're talking to a computer screen just makes it that little bit easier for to open up. And then also, if you're also feeling a bit passionate about the subject regarding mental health and TBIs for service personnel or veterans, it makes it even more easy for you to open up and start talking about things that you might not talk about every day in day-to-day life. And I think that is one of the best things about the show is getting people talking about things. And the more we talk about it, the more we reduce the stigma. I interviewed another New Zealand SAS chap this morning, which I'll put the episode out at the same time as this one. And we both commented on PTS. Now, I recently did a refresher course for my mental health first aid England qualification. And they keep describing PTS as PTSD, as a disorder. And I've challenged that by saying they should drop D. They should drop the disorder because that is creating a stigma. It's creating an atmosphere, especially in military or public uniform service, where if it's a disorder, if I talk about it and I'm diagnosed with it, then it's going to affect my career. Now, if we categorize that as an injury, something that's happened to us and it's injured us mentally, then it's something that A, we can realize. We can talk about it. We can reduce the stigma. We can also recognize the fact that it's an injury and it's something that we can heal from. And I think that's one of the most important things.
See, that's fascinating to me as well, because I've been told previously, I don't know whether how accurate this is, but when something is described as a disorder, that means that you can train your way out of it, so to speak. So either by using cognitive behavioral therapy or dialectical behavioral therapy, or I mean, we could go on for a massive list of different things that you can do. But they described to me that a disorder was something that you can get better from, but it's got the like you said, this word disorder has almost got this stigma behind it of once you've got it, that's it. And it's just not true. People out there with personality disorders, people out there with like you said, PTS or as being described PTSD, people out there with loads of different disorders, eating disorders, for example, that there's there's a lot of disorders, but people think, oh, it's a disorder, I'm stuck with it. You're not stuck with it. You can do this. And I think that's a lot of, again, it's the societal norm of, oh, it's a disorder, that's it. Now, nah, people, you can do this. You've got this. Like, you can get out of that.
I think that's quite a valid point. What about you, Dan? What do you make of
No,
PTSD
I
versus
make 100% with
borderline
you.
crisis and injury?
Make 100% with you. I was diagnosed in 20, about 2017, 2018, with quite severe PTSD and depression due to the job that I do and some of the job the incidents I'd gone to. And straight away, it's, disorder. That is the stigma, 100%. You listen to the US podcasts, they've stopped calling it PTSD. They've now started calling it PTS. I'm looking at doing what you've just done, the mental health first aid course at work. After doing some training with, I think they're called Police UK Care or something like that. It's called TPTI, which is another coping mechanism around trauma. It's not a this will fix you. It's a, gives a bit of perspective onto how severe the incident is you've just dealt with. But yeah, mate, if get rid of the word disorder, because yeah, that stopped me straight away. I knew that, as we all say, that I was a little bit messed up in the head. And what stopped me from asking for help was, oh, I'm going to get diagnosed with PTSD, therefore I'm screwed. But as soon as I asked for help, got the diagnosis, work were absolutely amazing. And if anything, it's probably helped my career path because it's put me in the right place with the right support and moved my career along the way it needs to. And that's what we need to, like I say, get rid of the stigma, get rid of the word disorder. I'm with you 100%.
Yeah, I think that obviously highlights the difference between no offense, Matt, a civilian mentality versus a public uniform service military mindset. I think, yes, you're quite right in saying a disorder is something that can be managed through various means, but again, it's the word in the uniform setting that it's stigmatized because it's potentially career finishing. Just
And
because
that's the
of
weird thing, isn't
historical
it?
instances, yeah.
That's the weird thing when, like you said, I'm coming from this from such a civilian. I'm such a fraud being on this show. The people who have effectively sat
Fraud
in
in
this
life,
seat,
Matthew.
effectively sat in this same seat. Come on. But that is the difference, this sort of civilian mentality compared to public or uniform services. And it's like, okay, well, do we either try and destigmatize that word or just get rid of it completely? And you guys are like, look, just end that word. Here's the it's KISS, isn't it? Keep it simple, stupid. Just get rid of the fucking word. End it. Done.
I mean, what I like to do, I like to follow the trends of what the US Veterans Society is doing, what the US military is doing. And then straight away, they've dropped the word disorder. They just call it PTS. And they've been doing that for a number of years. And when I challenged the trainer of my thought process of why it should be called PTS, because it's an injury, in my opinion, he found that fascinating, and he's actually going to take it back to the course providers at Mental Health England and see if they can actually get it changed. Because one of the things they do teach you about mental health is the biggest setback for anybody to have, good mental health is stigma.
Oh,
Uh,
100%.
but there's also stigma around the word mental health. You can have good mental health, you can have bad mental health, and you can be anywhere on that sort of spectrum of, from good to bad, and that can change on a daily basis, it can change on a weekly basis. But it's being able to admit and say, look, today I'm having a bit of a grey day. And if you don't want to talk about it, you don't want to, vocalize your feelings or thoughts or emotions that day, you could say, today I'm a six. I might be a five. Tomorrow I'm going to be a 7 out of 10. Tomorrow's always going to be a new day. So I think it's the way we communicate about mental health, how we communicate about our own mental health, to break down the barriers so we're able to talk to each other about our mental health.
Yeah, I like what you did there as well, Brock, when you were talking about we do it in work. We do have some people who say, I'm having a grey day, or my day's nice and green. Others, we've got myself, mate, I use a percentage. How are you feeling today, mate? I'm feeling 40. You know, or with me, people are walking to the office, look at me and go, ah, right. And I just go, yeah, okay.
I think that again, obviously, is a very uniform way of dealing with it. Matt, you know, it's always good to have, a civilian sort of outlook on this sort of thing. If you were not having such a great day, mental health wise, how would you put it across to someone if you didn't want to, fully engage with everything that was going on?
Yeah, you see, that's difficult. That's a difficult question because
ask your mind back, Matthew, a couple of weeks when you went to your van.
People that don't know this story, my van got broken into, and a lot of my kit, various different pieces, got stolen out of it. So I had a pretty great day that day. Felt good. Obviously, sarcasm will be coming across. You know what? I've almost harking back to what I started saying. It's changed now. My outlook has changed now that I've sort of connected with religion somewhat. You know what? If this is a plan, I'm still quite new to this. So if I use ifs as opposed to this, if this is a plan, let's see how it goes, and just try and be a bit pragmatic more about it. If I'm going to start talking to people about it, I think I'm lucky. The friend group that we have, we're really open with it. So if I am feeling dog shit, I'll just pop up on the chat and say, I'm feeling like shit today. And I know that's fine. And yeah, I expect a certain amount of abuse for it, but it's that kind of, it's that kind of friendship group that helps, because not that it's lessened, but it's made to feel safe. You know that you're with a bunch of people who think in a familiar way, who, because we are so open with each other, we are happy to talk about these things with each other, that yeah, I'm going to get abused for it in the nicest possible way, because that's how we all deal with it really well together. If it's at work, you know what, I think there is still there's stigma about it, so some of it is just dealing with it and just trying to come up with your own coping mechanisms, trying to come up with your own ways of dealing with things. Now, I've done courses, personally, for different things that I have been recommended that I do. I've done those courses for whatever reason I was recommended to. But I've done those courses, and you know what? They helped with some different things, like for example, having some sort of mental box that you can pick out of things that you know will, they call it soothe you or comfort you. That sounds a bit wet, but when you think of it, like what takes me out of this situation right now, because at the moment I'm in a distressed situation, I'm not feeling great, there's something going on, what can I do? And on that specific course, they were actually talking about having a physical box of things that are physical and tangible. And I said this to them, I said, well, I don't think that's a good idea, because sometimes you're not going to have that physical box. You're not going to be at home when you're in a, distress situation. You're not going to be at work or whatever. You might just be out on the street. And if you've not got this little comfort blanket almost to fall back on, you've got nothing, and that's going to maybe escalate the situation. So I said, why don't you have a mental box? So of things that you can do to take yourself out of that situation, or things that you just go back to of like, okay, I'm just, for example, so I know this is a bit tangible, but I listen to Jocko Willink, good, on YouTube. Stick that on repeat. And you know what? I'll listen to that same thing on a loop for half an hour, something like that. And if I'm in a stressful situation or something like that, and I've got that half an hour, obviously some stressful situations are bit more dynamic, so you can't just rely on taking yourself out of the situation. You've got to have other things then to fall back on. But if you've got time, you feel like something's boiling up inside of you, and you know that you're able to identify that, having that thing where you can just go, okay, I'm just going to listen to this on loop for the next half an hour. By the end of it, I'm good to go.
That's some interesting thoughts there. What about you,
With
Daz?
you, mate. But for me,
Yeah.
mate, first signs of frost, mate, on repeat, bang, get the album on, absolutely love it. Same with Matt, just bang that on. Once a stressful situation's boxed, and I've got a bit of me space, headphones on, bang on the album, and just, yeah, just listen to it, mate. Obviously, if I haven't got that available, when I've had EMDR in the past, they teach about having a safe space, which when I first heard about, I was very much what Matt's just said then. I was like, this a bit wet, this a bit soft. But it pains me to say that it works. You just sit there, a bit of mindfulness, close your eyes, drift off to your little safe space, and just de-stress.
Yeah.
I think you've hit
But
something there as well. Like you said, you thought exactly the same as me of like, oh, this is a bit wet. There's a certain amount of just, if you've got the ability to check your own ego at
yeah.
the door and just go, you know what? I'm going to give this a go. Yeah, it sounds wet. Yeah, this sounds a load of bollocks, but I'm going to check my ego. I'm going to give it a go. And like you said, you got the, oh, actually, this works. I got the exact same thing when there was make a comfort box. Fuck off. But you do it and you go, oh, actually, hang on a minute, this is working. Checking your ego
Yeah.
just gives you that bit of space, doesn't it?
Is having those preconceptions as well. When you hear certain trigger words of what may be coming to you in the next few minutes of this is what we're going to do, you've got a preconception of what is going to happen, what's going to go through your mind, perhaps through social media, perhaps through films or whatever you've seen that may be in that same sort of situation. You've got that preconception, and instantly you're stigmatizing the whole thing. Yes, you're going in there
Definitely.
with an ego, but you have just stigmatized that situation by, oh, this isn't going to work, this is wet, this is below my alpha model status, which is exactly what we're trying to break down. So it's just proving the point that we need to break this alpha male role model down, get rid of the stigmas, and go in there with no preconceptions and realize these things are around to help us. It's like a vitamin tablet for the mind. We take them for our body without blinking. So why can't we take some exercise and some vitamins for the mind?
Definitely. And like what Matt was saying about having the box of stuff that helps, it was described to me through the therapist I saw, which was we've got a little Batman build. It's got loads of little things on it. Yeah. Not one thing is going to help in every situation. So arm yourself with as much as you can. One of my main things on my Batman belt is you bunch of reprobates, definitely. Because, like I say, we can just go on the group, vent, and everyone just goes, Sandy's having a shit day. Let's give him a bit of support, but we're not American. He's had 5 minutes of support. Let's rip the shit.
Essentially.
But it all comes from a good place. And I've been there where I haven't had that support. And yeah, you need it. You know, everyone says, oh yeah, you've got your family, you go to, you've got your partner, that's great, but you need people who've got the same mindset as yourself, or have had similar experiences, or are just willing to listen. Because you get some people who they don't listen, they just sit there, don't they? There's listening, and then there's listening. But yeah, it's great to hear that, you know, you've done a different course to what I went to, different type of therapy type thing, Matt. They're saying use a box. My therapist says we've got a Batman belt with loads of different tools on it.
I prefer Batman belt. Just throwing it out there straight off. Batman belt is better.
I had toolbox. I had a toolbox, so you could put your tools in a toolbox, and then if when the situations arise, you open your toolbox and you pick out the appropriate tool.
Yeah, but that's Brock. That's because your toolbox gets locked away, and Matt's Batman belt would have been in the back of his van.
Along with all of my kit.
Yeah,
Let's
mate, you
just
just
start.
lucky. Yeah, it reminds me
Oh.
of the episode with Bradley Trevor Grieve, who was the Australian paratrooper. Now he was saying about having a good social circle was such a benefit to his mental health at the time when he was struggling after leaving the armed forces. And I think that's touching exactly what you two are saying about we've got this amazingly strong friendship group. And I know you say that you expect a certain barrage of abuse from the people in the group. Now, one thing I should point out, there's a lot of ex-armed forces, there's a lot of current serving armed forces in the group, and that is how we pretty much talk to each other on a daily day basis. If you're not abusing the person in front of you, then actually you don't really like them.
This is true.
To be fair, if
I hope.
we're not abusing someone in the group, then one of us is probably in a bit of a bad place. It needs a bit of a hand.
Yeah, it's a very strange situation. Maybe we need to re-term abuse because it's not. Well, no, actually, no,
Banter.
it is abuse.
We'll call it banter because
Let's call
that's
it banter.
because that's almost an agreed jest between two people. If we're going to put it in some sort of legal terms. So let's talk about the coming year then, 2023. I'm hoping it's going to be a successful year for Kit Cage. I'm hoping that I'm going to get even more fantastic guests on. Obviously, we're hitting the A-list of my wish list for veterans, Eddie Penny, Eddie Gallagher. Obviously, we're getting actors of shows that have supported mental health and TBIs in the form of SEAL Team with Justin Malnic. What about yourselves? What sort of guests would you be looking for over the coming year?
So couple of them are on my wish list. Chris Craighead, if you're out there, Obi-Wan, mate, get on this, please. I'd like to hear Matt Best because I just generally like him. He seems sound. And maybe some people who are in security as well, just as a bit of difference, sort of like private security, bodyguard, CP kind of stuff. Just as a bit of difference from armed forces, I think would be interesting. And as a bit of a curveball, I reckon you should do one, Brock. Flip the script, have someone interviewing you because you've got a lot of stuff to talk about.
I
And
have.
you do a lot of asking the questions. Well, so you ask questions, and then the guest really does take it on from there. So your the amount that you say on shows is probably like 10%, and you've got an interesting story. You know everyone's got a fascinating backstory. I think it would be good to hear from you.
The reasons why I felt compelled to do this podcast, the reason why I felt compelled to try and help people with their mental health. I think maybe if we could look towards the end of next year, I might
Just flip the script a bit.
Depending on who we got to interview, mate, then yeah. What about yourself, Darren?
First of all, mate, that's the most uncomfortable I've ever seen you answering the question there, saying, mate, there was some super squirming going on there. Mate, I'm with Matt on this. Definitely, Craig Ed. He did a bit of a podcast with BRCC, didn't he? But I think, you know, they were more interested in the history of his career and stuff. But I think with Kit Cage, you know, it gets kind of kept on the same topic, doesn't it, throughout? So everyone that I've seen gives very, you know, it's not all about their career. Like you say, it's all about the awareness. There was a couple of people that shot for yourselves around offline. It was some of the uniform services lads, a couple of them. Matt Best would be good, but I think maybe having a bit of a joint one with Matt Best and maybe a couple of the others. Crispy, I think, would be a good one. From BRCC, he's been through a fucking hell of a lot. But yeah, it's a tough one. Definitely a George Smith part two. 100% a George Smith part two needs to come along. But no, mate, you just it seems to be that the podcast, I'm not saying it didn't have traction before, but it just seems to be, you know, we've started off with Smudge. You know, he's our own little celebrity, isn't he, in the group? And it's just skyrocketed from there now, hasn't it? You know, I'm sure Eddie Gallagher can set you up with a couple of his ex-SEAL mates as well that we all know and love. No, like I it would with yourself, the fact that the guests are that varied anyway, that's what makes a podcast so enjoyable. It's not like you just concentrated on SEALs, you haven't just concentrated on you know, males in the military. A couple of more females I think would be good because there's some out there that have done some really alley shit. But yeah, mate, you know me, I'll listen to them all.
Well, I've got hopefully some guests that are going to be coming on early in 2023. Obviously, I think my wish list is definitely Christian Craighead. I have been speaking to him through Messenger for a little bit, and fingers crossed he did say he's going to let me know when he's available. So you never know, he might come on. Cody Alford, Marsoc, very interesting chap. Does a lot of public speaking. He never scripts anything, but he always manages to say the right thing. Amazing speaker. And he's somebody I follow on Instagram. Kim Campbell, who is a A-10 pilot. Again, she's another amazing speaker and public guest speaker at dinners and things like that. Motivational speaking, another fantastic guest. So there's hopefully some very interesting people lined up already for 2023. I hope it's going to reach more people. I hope that I'm perhaps going to get some advice from more American podcasters. But like you say, it's keeping that message and keeping true to the message of promoting good mental health in this environment rather than just talking about combat stories.
There's a million and one podcasts out there, isn't there? If you want to go and listen to Guns and Glory and, you know, what they did in Afghan and things like that, and you are very, it's a niche, mate, you've got, but you've got it. You've got it nailed, mate.
Well, thank you very much for your time. Obviously, I'm going to be speaking to a couple more people for the review show, but it's been absolutely fantastic to get your points of view. If I could just ask for one recommendation of an episode from each of you for people to look back on. Matt, if you want to go first.
I'm going to say John Smith because I don't think there's a better story of a guy with his bollocks out hitting a target that I've ever heard in my life.
That is a good story. Darren, what about you? What would be your
Mate.
go-to episode for people to go and watch if you were going to give them a recommendation?
Said it before, mate, Liz, all day long.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for the time, the pair of you. And I wish you all the best for 2023. Hello and welcome to the second half of the special edition of Kick Cage, the review show of 2022. And in this half, we're very blessed to have a couple, Brian and Lisa, who've been watching every episode and maybe listening to every episode on Spotify, and also from episode one, George Smudge Smith. Thank you very much for joining me on this special edition, round up the show. So first off, let me put this to Brian and Lisa. Which was your favourite episode so far and why?
Ooh, I'll let you go first.
God. Mine's quite a tie. I'm not obviously saying this because obviously I know the guys personally, but it's a tie between Smudge's and Mike's, because they both make really good points. But Mike's is, I can relate to Mike's a bit more, obviously being an airsofter myself and actually building a team myself. So it's a bit more relatable to his than obviously to Smudge's.
Yeah, and like pretty much to echo that as well, like Mike and Smudge, because we're sort of from the airsoft world. So they have sort of big influences on us in that way, you know, with kit and then things like that and how to build a team. On the other side, you know, you've had some excellent guests on the show, and it's hard to pick between them, really. It's not really fair on any of them to pick a favourite. But I think like Justin from SEAL Team, I think that was a big one, a really big surprise. I'm quite a big fans of SEAL Team. So see him on and listen to his wise words was quite a nice one, I think, definitely.
Yeah, I agree with that one. Yeah, definitely.
Good. Smudge, I know you were obviously episode one and you kicked off a plethora of alley guests and a few surprises, as we've have just heard along the way. I know you've been watching the show, listening to the show. What has been your favourite one so far?
I mean, other than mine, so it's quite a tight red. No. I mean, favourite for me, probably largely due to yourself, was definitely Eddie's, Gallagher's. Just having a personal shout out from him, I think, has tipped everything else. I mean, Eddie Penny as well, like hearing his story again, but not hearing the stories. I mean, like, I watch, as you know, all of the Sean Ryan shows.
Yeah.
So hearing their dips and then having one where they're specifically just addressing mental health, their challenges, their battles, has been phenomenal. I mean, all of them have been good, bro. Like, if I was to pick one, it'd probably be Gallagher. And then it'd probably be closely followed by Melnick and Penny, I reckon.
I think when it came to the Justin Melnick episode, I spoke about this in the first half. There was a lot that wasn't said in that interview that, you know, certain people would have gathered from him. It was what he didn't say that I found powerful. There was, I don't know what we call the 1,000-meter stare. And there was definitely some background trauma that, you know, he probably wasn't ready to talk about that you could find hidden in that interview. Very good. Thank you very much for that, Smudge. So obviously there's been a very personal message in the Kick Cage, and that's obviously to do with mental health, which is what you just said. Now, obviously I've been trying to champion at work, trying to drop the word disorder from PTSD and just have it as PTS like they do in America. So what did you take away from these episodes personally? I know you said about team building, but was there anything else that you managed to take away from these episodes, Lisa and Ryan?
Things like having the confidence to speak up about things. Don't be shy about stuff. If you're having a difficult time, there's always somebody out there that you can reach out to and talk to, and vice versa. If you've got friends and family that are having issues at the times, you know, be open to them. Let them come to you and talk to you about it. Don't push them away.
Yeah.
Be an open book to them. Let them talk to you.
doesn't matter if it's 3 in the morning, 2 in the morning. I mean, I personally, I've got friends that suffer with obviously bad mental health. And I've always said, even if it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you're in tears, give me a call. I'd rather you wake me up than sit there on your own. So it's a lot more than, it's just hard to explain or put into words for me, because I suffer with it as well, personally. And I've had times where I've had him knocking on the door just to make sure I'm okay, because I've cut ties with people. So it's a big message to everybody. Yeah, just speak up. I know it's hard, but it's there to help you, to save your life at the end of the day.
Absolutely. That's very powerful. Thank you for sharing that with us. Smudge, what about yourself? What have you taken away personally from the episodes?
Personally, a lot. I mean, I think my biggest takeaway is, and especially, I say biggest takeaway and point for maybe others to look at that they've probably missed or have seen but not sort of delved deeply into that thought process is, like, obviously, I mean, these are A-list operators in DevGru and, you know, New Zealand Special Air Service, our Special Air Service. You've got private military contractors there. You've had medics on board that have dealt with a whole host of trauma and everything. It's like, if there's ever a time to try and destigmatize PTS, is now. The fact that they're A-listers, you're watching on your screen, on your podcasts, and they're giving you advice when they're still not taking it on board themselves.
Yeah.
You know, no one's immortal. No one's immune from this. Not even the best of the best. It just goes to show you, you know, if they can openly talk about it and their coping mechanisms, I mean, maybe take a leaf out of their books, seeing as how high they were, and actually follow some of it and pass it on and spread it and help other people.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the good things about how I've sort of based the review show. I've sort of got, you know, some civilians, but I've also got yourself being military. So it's two perspectives of the same show. Now, obviously, you know, we know the sort of hierarchy of some of these people, and I know they've alluded to the fact that they know there's been some sort of surprise guests on it. But when it does come to the likes of Eddie Penny and Eddie Gallagher, these guys, wow, they're like, yeah,
definitely
the celebrity world.
Yeah.
The celebrity world of special forces operators. And for them to open up and start talking about, you know, how they feel coming out of the forces, how they feel when they've been dealing with something mentally from what they've seen and what they've been through, openly talking about it and putting it out there, I think that's the biggest thing. That's going to get rid of the stigma, because that's the biggest thing about mental health is stigma.
The stigma.
Yeah. And I know we were talking about that just before we hit record, that everybody has mental health, and that word, you know, mental health, is stigmatized by itself, because you can have good mental health, you can have bad mental health. But as soon as you hear the words mental health, there's that stigma of there's something wrong with that person.
Yeah.
But it's not. There's not anything wrong with them, really. So going forward then, let's start thinking about the coming year, 2023. We'll really try and be positive about the upcoming year. So what would you like to see, Brian and Lisa, from Kit Cage in the coming year?
I'd say just keeping up the really good, you know, the good work, and like you say, beating that stigma, and just keep going with it, and just opening this world up. Because obviously from the civilian side, you know, you hear all these heroic SAS men, you know, the Delta Force, the SEALs, and we all think of them as like these, you know, invincible super soldiers that can never be defeated, and that they come home, you know, and that they're just normal people. And it sort of opens our eyes to what they do and what they do when they come home, and that they are just normal people underneath, just with incredible jobs, really.
Yeah, it's quite personal for me as well, because I've got 3 members of the family in the military. My dad and my 2 brothers are in the RAF. My dad and one of my brothers have been to Afghan, so I've kind of had an inkling of what they had to do, Like you say, it's taken me dad years and years to open up about the stuff he's seen and things like that. He was a mess when he came back. He wasn't the same person. But in the end, it's sort of the way that my dad's my hero, because he was the reason why he's one of the reasons why I'm safe at night and things like that. But it's just a big thing, isn't it?
Definitely.
Can't even word it. When it comes to my dad, I get emotional because he doesn't live in this country anymore, so I don't see him hardly enough anymore. But it's just, he will always be my hero for it.
Yes. Smudge, what about you?
Just keep doing what you're doing, bro. Like, the scale of guests, the comparability of your show over the last year is, I mean, you can even say now factually on par with the guests, the big hitters like Sean Ryan is getting. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, he's probably the biggest hitter out there for this. You're getting the same guests as him. My query now isn't much about what you're doing. My query now is to the people out there, like, why aren't they pushing this show? Why aren't more of them watching it?
Yeah.
Why isn't it getting more attention? Why isn't it getting the attention it deserves? And again, I think that's to do with people maybe skimming over things and just being like, yeah, you know, yeah, it's only about mental health or whatever. It needs a big push. The whole thing needs a big push. I think if you keep doing what you're doing, you keep getting them big hitters on, it is just going to grow and grow, and people are slowly going to start cocking their heads more and going, okay, I'm going to have a look at this now. I think a big push is coming. I think it's inevitable with the way you've been running the show now. So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. And obviously, I want to see my boy DJ on there.
DJ Schiffer.
I've got a few ideas who I'd like to see, but I don't know if that's going to be possible. But
well, go on then. Let's hear your ideas. Who would you like to see on the show next year?
I would love to see some of the Black Rifle Coffee lot, especially Matt Best, because I absolutely think he's brilliant. He's just so funny. I think he's a veteran himself.
Yeah, I think he's from the Ranger regiments in America, 75th Rangers.
Yeah, we've recently just found his Christmas song, haven't we? We just can't stop playing it non-stop. Yeah. Matt Best is my top one up there, I think.
I mean, it'd be good to hook up with another big veteran-owned company as well, I think. You know, Black Rifle Coffee, and they do a lot with that kind of thing as well. And I guess they've got a massive audience.
Yeah. There's a couple of companies that I'm going to try and see if they if they want to do something together. I'm probably going to target a veteran-owned company.
Oh, definitely.
Just to see if they want to do something and perhaps interview the owner as well. What about else? What other guests would you like to see on next year?
Jace, I think.
More of the SEAL team guys.
Yeah, Jake. Unfortunately, I don't remember his name, but the guy that plays Jace from SEAL teams one is quite a
David Baranis.
Because I wasn't bothered about it at first, but obviously it was Smudge and Mike that mentioned it to me, and then Ryan got me started watching it, and I got hooked straight away. It was just like, this is really, really good.
I think it's a fantastic. It's one of the only sort of shows that sort of spreads the message as well. It's all right. It's got all the action bits. It's also got the home life side of it, the mental health side of it, you know, dealing with extreme measures, you know, dealing with being captured and stuff like that.
Spoilers, by the way.
Spoilers. and other issues, and like the PTS, you know, and the breach syndrome and things like that. And it makes that more, you know, it brings a lot more of that to light as well.
Yeah, that's one of the things I'm obviously speaking to Justin Melnick about, because obviously for those who are listening or watching that don't know, Justin Melnick is a actor who's on SEAL team, obviously sharing a great name with myself, Brock. we spoke about how the show does a lot of good for obviously spreading the word about TBIs and mental health. But obviously when we spoke about product placement, you got quite passionate the fact that they don't call it product placement. it is carefully chosen bits of clothing that operators wear, which I found quite fascinating, because Tom, who's a veteran who owns Eagles and Angels, I've been speaking to him quite a bit. Obviously, I've got a lot of his hats behind me. He's actually good friends with Tyler Gray. So I think being able to have the Eagles and Angels showcase on the show was really good.
Yeah.
So thinking about what's going to come in 2023 as well, then. So obviously Smudge was alluding to pushing for, I don't know, more notoriety for the show, for more people hearing about it. But I don't know, where does the show sit for you personally? Because obviously there's a lot of other combat shows that interview people and they just literally talk about the combat. Like Smudge was saying, there's obviously Sean Ryan show, which is fantastic. And if potentially the Kick Cage got up really, really big, then yeah, I'd probably look at building a studio and actually having the guests come in, which would probably cost me an arm and a leg, but hey, it's for a good
cause. It'd be worth it.
Yeah, it would, yeah.
Where does the show sit for you personally, then?
Well, personally, like you say, there's a lot of shows out there and they highlight all the combat and all the, you know, all the top end spectrum of it, that kind of side. But they don't really bring it home and show you the home life, you know, how they dealt with what was life like when they got back from the war zone and back from the operations, what it was like then for them and how they dealt with stressors and things. Obviously coming from a high stress environment to a low stress environment and the differences in it and how they dealt with it as self and even civilian life, you know, we can apply those kind of things they've learned to help us with daily stresses and things like that in a way.
Yeah.
So their coping mechanisms and things like that and their dedication to things and their perseverance to helping each other and helping other people out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. Smudge, obviously you're desperate to have DJ Shipley on. yeah, trying to get somebody from GBRS Group on. I'll do my best because obviously I'd like to get him on as well. Who else would you like to have on the show next year?
I mean, there's several. I mean, DJ is, he is one of those people when I've seen him do his podcast, the Sean Ryan show, his entire story was just God's honest, no bullshit, straight up. This is how it was. This was what happened. This is what I did, you know, all the way through. And it just captivated me. And seeing more people like that now, just dedicating part of a show to the mental health thing, it's incredible. So I'd love to see, obviously, some more big hitters. So I'd love to see Craig get on here. That'd be incredible because obviously we've probably most of us have seen his interview with Black Rifle now.
Yeah.
Where he talks about some bits and pieces with them and what he's doing. Obviously, he's done a short film. He's got his book coming out. But he won't talk about anything else. So anything operationally he's done, he will not talk about anything else apart from that one day. Mm. So I'd be quite interested to see him on your show and just do a segment on mental health. That would be interesting to see.
Yeah, that'd be good, yeah.
That is exactly why I'd love to get him on the show. Mainly talking about everything that surrounded those photos, because obviously it was himself that released the photo of him with the balaclava off because he was sick of people around Hereford claiming it was themselves. So it'd be interesting to, you know, talk about how he felt leaving the forces after that under those circumstances, because that'd be quite interesting to talk about. So fingers crossed, maybe next year I might be able to get him on, because I honestly think without having to talk about any of the previous operations, we would have a generally good conversation about mental health, which would be, you know, fantastic.
Definitely would.
Yeah.
So again, thinking forward then, what else could I do for the show to make it something that would appeal to the general populace? Because obviously there is a lot of shows out there. The gold standard is obviously Sean Ryan. That is the gold standard of podcasts. You know, having those people come on to such an amazing set and, you know, talk for sometimes 4 or 5 hours, which I think is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
I would love to get to that sort of stage where I've got my own set going. But what else could we as a community, because I like to say, you know, Kid Cage has got its community, it's got its Facebook following, it's got its Instagram following. As a community, what could we do to help raise this awareness for mental health and get the name out there a bit more?
I don't know if we could get something like the Airsoft community involved with it. Maybe have, you know, a mental health awareness game day or something like that. Just something that maybe a lot of veterans can turn up to. People that have had issues, people that have got issues can get together and all, you know, have a mingle, talk about things, and then maybe have a blast at it at the same time. Maybe something like that.
Yeah, might be able to tie that in with Pilgrim Bandits or something.
Exactly.
Like that.
Yeah, I'm going to say we could tie in Pilgrim Bandits. I'm sure that there's a few site owners out there that may go along with it.
Warzone comes to mind straight away.
What about you, Smudge? What do you think we could do to expand on the Kick Cage?
Well, what are we thinking? We think it's short term, long term, or do you want to wear any of it?
Any and all of it.
I mean, obviously, they were good ideas about hosting the events. Sponsorship's always going to be a big thing. Advertising is always great, unfortunately. You know, the market we're in, it costs, and it costs a damn lot of money, especially to, you know, be turning up at the top of every search bar across the world. As you know, it bankrupted you before you even got rolling. So really, it's not a case of what, you know, the community you've now created can do for you. It's a case of that knowledge coming and the support coming from the community that you're essentially doing it for. They don't realize you're there. So it's trying to hit them now, hit them in the fields and get stuff going. I mean, we've spoken at great lengths about stuff over the years, and we've definitely got some of the similar goals with a kind of end achievement for mental health. So obviously some form of charitable startup and foundation, I think, is going to be the real route eventually. I mean, you know, I'm not talking sort of next week, still broke after Christmas. but yeah, I think that's the route you head down, because I know that's where you want to end up. You want to actually impact more and more. Yeah. And I think that's where it's going to go anyway. And obviously, you know what I'm in. So it's getting the name out there more. So I think a few events, getting some stuff out there and getting friends to share the living shit out of it everywhere they can. Yeah. Every yeah. which way but loose. That's the only way we're going to do this. So I don't know if we could maybe do if you could maybe create an online day or something where you get a few people that have been on the show together, and we maybe have a live event, stream it, you know, spin some dips, tell some stories, do some fundraising, get everyone sharing it, everyone showing their mates, you know. Just things like that. Anything we can to sort of spread it.
I think I'm going to do something. I'm still talk with nearly all of the veterans that I've interviewed over the past year. So I'm sure we can arrange something like that. So questions from you three to me then. Do you have any questions about Kit Cage?
Not that I can think of. Not personally.
What inspired you to do it in the first place? What inspired you to set up Kit Cage?
Okay. Well, I know Smudge has been dying for me to do an episode on myself since I near enough started doing Kit Cage. Because I had really bad mental health for a long period of time. And it was my very close friends that, you know, literally saved my life. So going through almost a healing process itself for me is the root, going back to the root cause of what caused my issues and trying to turn it into a positive is the short answer.
Definitely. Good answer. Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very much a short answer. You know, trying to help other people, from people's experiences, and if it can save just one person, if it can, you know, alter the life of one person, like my life was altered, then, you know, I've done a good thing.
Definitely. Yeah. definitely.
I like that.
What about you, Smudge? Do you have a question?
No, not really, I guess.
Put him on the spot.
Yeah.
I like to think of myself as the OG now, being episode one.
Well, yeah, this is very true. Being the first episode, I think having you on set quite a high benchmark. I know you laugh, but there's, a lot that our close group of friends probably didn't know. There was some things on that episode that you shared that was the first time you shared.
I remember we listened to Smudge's episode this morning, didn't we?
Yeah.
And he mentioned a few things that I didn't even know. Obviously, I'm friends with him, but I wouldn't say I was a close friend. But there was things in there that he said, I was just like a slap in the face, really. It was just like, wow, I wouldn't even think anything like that if he hadn't said anything. So it was a good start, wasn't it?
Oh, definitely.
A really good start.
Yeah, I think that's been one of the really good things about Kit Cage is that, people have really opened up. And I don't know if it's the fact that, it's, veteran talking to veteran via, and you've got the distance of the webcam as well. So I don't know if that is helping the person I'm interviewing open up that little bit more, the fact that, we're both speaking the same terminology. It's been noted before that when we've been talking about things and they've been, describing certain things and I've been nodding away and you can see them sort of smiles like, he's nodding
because he
knows. And it's like, yeah. I think one of the episodes, I always speak very highly of because, the book itself was phenomenal, and I read it in 2 days flat, was episode 18 with Liz McConaughey. Now, her book was just mind-blowing, and bit of a spoiler alert, if nobody's read the book and you don't want a spoiler alert, please skip forward for the next 5 minutes. But there's a whole chapter dedicated to when she tried to commit suicide. Now, the chapter itself was incredibly well written out, and it was very matter of fact from each sort of time that she remembered. So as the day progressed, the chapter progressed, and the way her mind was working, not working during that day, I just completely connected with. And for me, that was one of the best episodes I did because of that sort of personal connection we had.
Definitely.
That was probably one of the best episodes I had. I know a few people have asked me sort of about the set that I've been sort of filming in. Smudge has been lucky enough to stay in here a couple of times.
My room.
Smudge's bedroom. So obviously on the wall behind me, just over my left shoulder, is actually Robert O'Neill's combat shirt, which Smudge is dying to get his hands on because it's signed by the operator, Robert O'Neill. And if you don't know who that is the guy who took down Osama bin Laden.
Wow.
Yeah.
Obviously, on my right hand here, I've got the Stars and Stripes, which was flown over Bagram Air Base in 2006 over CENTCOM, which is Central Command for the US. And obviously behind me, I've got obviously the Cry Kit, which was used by SF operators. And in the mix there is obviously some AR-01, which is what the dev crew used. And before anyone jumps up and starts calling the police, they're obviously imitation firearms used for airsoft. Obviously, I try and promote as much veteran businesses as I can as well during the Kit Cage. Obviously, Bone Frog Coffee in the US, and I also see Smudge is wearing the same shirt as me, which just so happens to be the Black Rifle Coffee flannel.
Taxi cock.
Absolutely.
I have to get you one now.
So, obviously, I'm also a big advocate for Eagles and Angels as well. I try and push as many of the veteran businesses as I can. And I'll try and continue to do that in 2023.
Definitely.
Right. So to round up the show then, is there anything else you want to bring to the table for the review show? Best thoughts over the past year?
Like I say, it's just a fantastic thing you're doing, just making every, you know, mental health a big thing, bringing up the, you know, that it's not a bad thing. It needs to be, like I said, destigmatized. And people see you start opening up, talk to friends and family. If we've got mental health issues, bring them to the light and let other people help you with them.
Yeah.
And share the load.
Yeah, it's like mental health. When I pass my personal trainer's course, that mental health's going to be a big thing for me because I'm obviously going to have people come to me with it. And I'll say the gym's helped me a lot compared to what I used to be. And I want to do that for other people. So obviously I want to learn more about it and obviously know more signs of what I'm looking for so I can help these people a lot more in the civilian world.
That's brilliant. I wish you all the best for that. And
thank you.
I wish you all the success for helping people like yourself. Smudge, what about you?
Yeah. Again, on the mental health, yeah, talk about it. Mental health is not a dirty word. Don't be so naive to think even saying mental health is a bad thing or, you know, mentioning your own mental health. Mental health is a matter of fact. It is a real thing. So we have good mental health, we have bad mental health. Perfectly acceptable, perfectly normal. Yeah. I'd love more people, like we try and actively do now, like they do in the States, to sort of take away the stigma with PTS as well. So a lot of people call it PTSD. It's not a disorder. PTS is post-traumatic stress. It does not need to be a disorder. It's stress that is post-traumatic from a past event. So it is PTS. Let's try and, if the environment and everyone around us isn't taking it away, let's try ourselves and just separate it so it's easier for people to approach people with and talk about and open up about and just help people. And like, higher suicide rates still, mainly males. Mm-hmm. It's like, fucking speak to a mate, guys. Like, don't be scared. I have helped so many people out at work in Civvy Street, my best friends. Just speak. Ask anybody. Talk to somebody. Do something.
Yeah.
And like Brock, like myself, you never know, you could be put in a position later on where you end up saving somebody else's life.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I think it doesn't help as well that males are, like, they're expected to be masculine, they're expected to be strong, they're not expected to have emotions like women are and things like that, so they feel the need to hide it, which, again, is another thing that needs to be nipped in the bud, basically. Because males are obviously have feelings as well. They're going to have stresses and things like that. So it needs to be more normal for them to open up more than females.
Absolutely. 100% agree with that. And, you know, hopefully the message behind Kick Cage is going to help with that. To, you know, obviously I've not just only interviewed male SF operators. I've interviewed female as well. And I think they've been just as feisty as the male people I've interviewed, especially Emma. I think she was fantastic. But thank you very much, you guys. I really appreciate the chat that we've had tonight. Thank you so much for supporting Kid Cage. Thank you so much for watching and listening every episode. It really means a lot to me that, you know, the hard work that I'm putting into it is, you know, enjoyable to others. If it's not, you know, helping, it's something good for you to listen to and watch. Smudge, thank you very much for kicking it off, being episode one. Really meant a lot to me.
Proud to do it, bro. Proud to do it. Seeing how you've come from, you know, a washed out, bitter old squaddy all the way up to former dev crew that made headlines is like incredible for me to see. like absolutely just otherworldly. Guys of, you know, myself and others, as you know, we've actively admired, looked up to, enjoyed their stories. You know, Eddie Gallagher followed everything through that. And just, yeah, I was like, I was on the same show as him.
Well, we'll see who we get over the coming year. I know a few of the guests have even said they'll come on for an episode two, which I would very much look forward to.
Yeah. Can I interject with that? That was one extra I was going to say was, I mean, we've spoke before and we know for a fact we've still got another good few hours in us. So I think that would be, I know it's quite hard with having people all over the world you interview, but I think maybe one a month or one quarterly to start off with, one every 3 months, do a long one, actually, you know, get a bit meatier about it.
Yeah,
definitely, that'd be good.
Yeah, I could do that. We'll when I start getting like another big hitter that somebody that really wants to hear the story of. I know I've been speaking with Cody Alford, who is a former MARSOC, amazing public speaker, you know, for We Defy the Norm. You know, hopefully, if I manage to square a date away with him, fingers crossed, if I manage to do a long show with him, I'd be absolutely over the moon with that. Well, again, thank you very much for coming on. Thank you very much for everything you said. I'm going to try my best to make 2023 as good as what this year has been and progress it in the same manner that I have been. I will probably run a competition throughout the year and we'll have some more listeners come on this time next year to do a 2023 review show. So people who've watched this all the way to the end, thank you very much indeed. And look out for that competition. I'll be running that. And we'll see if we can get you on the show towards the end, review some episodes, and probably chuck some merch your way for coming on. So, Lisa, Ryan, thank you very much.
Not a problem.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.